waiting for everybody else to show up.
Well, that time of the year, I suppose, and the bad weather on some roads, and it is what it is. I personally was a little disappointed we didn't get more snow, but it is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we thank you that where two or more gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst of them. Welcome, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us here. We pray that what we do here is pleasing to you and life-changing to all of us, and then through us to the world around us. We say that a lot, God, and we mean it. Have your way with us. For this day, we give you our lives as living sacrifices. This day, we gather in this place to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to praise your name. We gather together here as a witness to the rest of the world that we are your children called by your name, that we love you. And we gather together here in this place because you said, don't forsake the gathering together, Lord. And so we are here out of obedience, out of love and out of gratitude, out of a desire to evangelize, to spread the gospel. So come, Holy Spirit, into this place. Bless us with a heart of flesh and open us up to receive the word that you have for us today. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good morning, church. I offer a warm welcome to all of you, and as you make your way back to your seats, I will present our moments of informality. This is when I'll take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. If you would like some information about the church, especially any visitors, if we have any visitors out there today, visitors, please feel free to see the pastor after worship, any of the ushers, or if you so desire, there's a packets of information hanging on the shepherd's hook immediately out the double doors in the narthex. I would ask that you sign the registration page in the red folders. Those are located in your pew. Please sign that and pass it to others, bringing it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, you will find 3x5 index cards in those red folders. Use that card to give a prayer request or another message to the pastor. Put it in a clear holder, and the ushers will bring it forward to Pastor Bruce. Our Bible memory verse for January. You can find that on the front page of your bulletin, top center. We will recite that twice through. Please join me. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We do have a number of announcements this morning, and I will highlight just a few and then remind you to take a look through your bulletin. First, congratulations to us, and this is a message from the Finance Committee, has announced that we, Irwin First United Methodist Church family, have met our 2018 connectional apportionment amount of $37,775. And that was a big number, and we did this coming together through weekly contributions, the two-buck campaign, monthly children's bucket collections, fundraisers, direct donations, and we all should feel proud, stand proud. We accomplished our expected goal for the first time in many years, and the Finance Committee gives their heartfelt gratitude. In the bulletin, you will notice that the United Methodist Men, there's an error on the date. The United Methodist Men will meet this Wednesday, January 16th. The bulletin says December, but it's this Wednesday, January 16th at 7 p.m. They will meet in the church parlor, and there will be refreshments after the meeting. And all men are welcome to attend. You don't have to be an official member of the United Methodist Men. All men are welcome to attend the meeting. Also, please mark your calendars kicking off next Sunday, January 20th. The Outreach Committee will be selling their soup to go. that can be purchased after worship, and you get to choose from three delicious soups. So plan on lunch to go next week, provided by the Outreach Committee. And also next week, toward the end of the week, Thursday the 24th and Friday the 25th, the NOW Committee is having their Bob Evans fundraiser, and that is where Bob Evans will contribute 15% of your bill. So if you're planning on going out, and even if you're not planning on going out, make it a point, because our church will reap some of those benefits, and that's next Thursday and Friday. You will see a flyer in the bulletin. You do need to take that flyer with you to Bob Evans. And also, if you, when you exit worship today, you'll notice some poinsettias on a table there in the narthex. They are free to be taken home. They're still blooming beautifully. The colors are still very vivid. So if you would like to nurture one of those poinsettias, please feel free to take one or two to beautify your home during these winter months. And now, just a final reminder, please take a look at the meetings and other activities that are scheduled this week, and also the other announcements that are in your bulletin. And I would now ask that you turn your hearts and your minds to our worship. Thank you, Diane, for that beautiful version of Blessed Assurance. I was up here tapping my toes. I would now ask that you please rise and follow along in your bulletin. Under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt of Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Please remain standing for hymn of praise number 332 in your red hymnal.
loves us. Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Ha! Huh. Well, we're going to talk about Jesus' baptism today for the sermon. But let me give you an idea of what that baptism means. Need you to stand up? We're going to play Simon Says. Yes, this is what the pastor does when he doesn't prepare a children's chat, okay? Just letting you know. Turn around and face everybody. Very good. Simon didn't say turn around and face everybody. Turn around and face me again. Turn around this way. Okay, Simon says turn around and face everybody. Okay, now wave at everybody. Ah, good. Now Simon says wave at everybody. Simon says quit waving. Okay, turn around and face me now. Ah, Simon says turn around and face me. Okay, you guys are doing great. Here, give me five. Ah, yeah, Simon didn't say give me five. Okay, yeah. It's a lot like life. We have choices. We always have choices whether to get mad or don't get mad, whether to do something to hurt somebody or do something to help somebody. We always have choices. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. And you always have a choice. Don't be a reactor. Be an actor. In other words, don't be a person who just jumps in and responds. You know, you get mad, so you lash out. That's a reactor. But be an actor. Be somebody who stops, thinks, and chooses to do what Jesus would want you to do. It's not Simon says in our case, but it's Jesus says in our case. Okay? Simon says, raise your hand. Simon says, put your hand down. Simon says, put your hand back up. Simon says, put your hand down. Put your hand back up. Simon says, put both hands up. Simon says, close your eyes. Open them. Simon says, open your eyes. Okay, you can put your hands down. Simon says, put your hands down. Okay, Simon says, game's over. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to do what Jesus wants us to do. Help us to choose to do the good things, to overcome evil with good, because we're your children. Pour out your spirit upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said?
Amen.
Amen.
Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament, from the book of Acts, chapter 8, 14 through 17. Hear these words. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on the Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. This ends the reading of our holy word. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you.
Well, Lord, we give to you these tithes and these offerings out of obedience. We give them to you in love and thankfulness. We give them to you, Lord, with hope. Hope that you will bless and multiply them, use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church to make a difference in the world, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to sustain ministries that help the people around us. And we ask, God, that you would bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody have a joy that they want to share?
This church.
Glad you had your remote starter today. Nellie, you've been here 51 years.
Yeah, with Bernetta Green and Dale.
Spark, the youth convention taking place in Pittsburgh where our youth group is at. Food bank yesterday was a joy. Thank you to everybody who helped take down decorations. Bonnie and I would like to thank everybody for all the cards and gifts that we received over the holidays. They were a real blessing. You and Sarah are celebrating your 68th anniversary. Wendell, I don't know how that's possible because Sarah looks a lot younger than 68.
Just.
Indoor plumbing is a joy, especially in this weather. To make reconnections with people you haven't seen and talked with in a while, yes. Okay, if you're thankful for the roof over your head, the clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, your health such that it is, your prosperity, country in which you live, for friends and families and pets, raise your hand, wave it around and say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, our concerns. We want to pray for our church, FUMC. Pray for our country, USA. Don't pray against anybody in our country. That's the biggest mistake people make. They tear down our leaders. Good or bad, don't they know that God has put leaders in place? That's biblical. And I'm not playing politics here. I'm just saying let's be Christians. Pray for our country. Pray for the office. And pray for a revival of the Holy Spirit in our land. Pray for those who are battling addiction, for those who are lost, who don't know Jesus. Let's pray for Bruce and Daniel and Lori. Pray for the homeless and our shut-ins, our youth group, for the Nawana Han family. I'll be doing Nawana's funeral tomorrow. For Nawana used to come here to church years ago. She is laid out at Snyder's Funeral Home 2 to 4, 6 to 8 today, and funeral's tomorrow morning at 10. Let's pray for those people who are victims of natural disasters, not just recently, but from years ago. Pray for those on the back of our bulletin, all of our shut-ins, those on our sick list, folks being affected by the politics, government shutdown. Let's pray for Joe and family, for Bob having surgery on Wednesday. God knows the details. Men and women in the military, first responders, law enforcement, for Jacob, our son Jacob, who's battling the crud, and now our grandson Levi also has it, just going around like wildfire. Yep. Bonnie is really referring to our middle son, Jacob, who's graduating from seminary in a couple months. Man is a wonderful pastor. His churches just love him. He is just doing great guns. And he went for his interview with the Board of Ordained Ministry about getting ordained this summer as a provisional member. And they decided to delay him, to make him wait a year, because they didn't agree with some of his answers or something. He had laryngitis to begin with, so it made things even more difficult. But the politics of the church really come into play next month as the United Methodist Church meets together for voting on a special general conference about the future structure of the church. And we'll have more about that in the upcoming bulletins. There shouldn't be any politics in church. It's that simple. Anybody else have a concern? Yeah, there are a lot of missing children. Yeah, there's so many issues we don't address as a congregation. I mean, human trafficking. Huge, huge issue. It is alive and well in this country today. And we need to come against that in the name of Jesus. A lot of issues. Good that Jamie Koss is home. Jamie Koss, that's who we're talking about, Sandy. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was something. 3 months she was held captive. And we as Christians, our memory verse, what is it? Romans what?
Romans 12:21.
What's it say?
Do not
overcome. That's right. That's right. It's not going to just happen by itself. We have to overcome evil with good. Okay. Unspoken request. Raise your hand. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it seems like we're in a praying mood today, God. We believe in your power. We believe that you're greater than any problem that we have or anybody else has. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of these concerns that we've made known here today. You know the details for all of them, spoken and unspoken. And God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come down and intervene and make a difference and change the way things are. We pray, God, that you would bring a healing where it's needed and peace and direction, revival where it's needed, love where it's needed. And we pray, God, that you would use us as you see fit to intervene in these situations. Come, Holy Spirit, come and do a mighty work. For the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We have favor with God and man. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. It is written. It is God's promise to us. We're standing on that promise now. And God, we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand, if you are able, for the reading of the gospel. What? Nope, something else. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. We have some special music for you. I wonder why everybody was looking at me.
Right. You know, we're all creatures of habit. But I'd like you to turn in your hymnals to number 607. This is the covenant prayer, the Wesley Covenant. And I'd like you to follow along in your bulletins while the choir sings the prayer.
Everything I do, let me endure.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to Luke chapter 3 verses 15 to 17. This is the word of the Lord. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. I want to say marriage. But what I want to say is mowage. How many of you know where that's from? Yes, mowage. Bonnie and I have been married over 40 years. And I'll tell you, I don't know where the time has gone. I see that young lady sitting there, and that's my bride. And it seems like yesterday. It's been 40 wonderful years. And according to Bonnie, only the first 39 were the hardest. But marriage, according to Genesis chapter 2, a man shall leave his father and mother, and he and his wife shall cling one to the other and become one flesh. One flesh. And we know that in the world that we live in the broken world, a lot of marriages don't make it for one reason or another. But in God's perfect world, in that marriage, you truly become one flesh. You would absolutely die for each other. You don't do anything without considering the other person. I've got to tell you, Jesus' baptism was all about that. He came to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit makes us one flesh with Christ. The baptism of Jesus was a significant step in God's plan of saving us. It is where Jesus intersects with human history. When Jesus' baptism is that stepping off point, when Jesus brings his righteousness into the scene of public ministry. Because that's when he starts his public ministry. After he's baptized, he's driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he fasts and prays for 40 days and nights and battles temptation with the devil. But baptism is so significant. Jesus instituted baptism. When he went into the River Jordan, when John the Baptist was out there telling people they need to repent of their sin and get ready, because the Savior's coming. They need to get ready. You need to repent. And so people went to him, and he would preach to them, and he would lead them in a prayer of repentance, and he'd baptize them in the water. Jesus went to him as well. Only Jesus was the sinless Son of God. And when he went up to John in the water, and John says, "You come to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so for now, in order to fulfill all righteousness." In a wedding, one of the things that we do is we have the bride and groom come up to the altar and light a unity candle. So there's this pillar candle sitting there, and on either side of the candle, there's two little candles. The bride and groom take the little candles, and they light off of the altar candles, which represent the Holy Spirit who gave them life. And together, they light that pillar candle. And as they both touch that wick, one flame springs up. And then they blow out the little candles, because their lives as individuals is no longer the same. They have now come together as one flame, one in the flesh. Now, there are times when I've done outside weddings over the years, and we've used sand or water and had them come up and pour water or sand into the same vase becomes indistinguishable. But that's all in keeping with the word of God that the two shall become one flesh. And Jesus wants that for you and me with him. He wants us to become one flesh with him. And the process of doing that involves baptism. Whether you remember that you were baptized as an infant or whether you get baptized as an adult. Either way, that is what we need to remember, because through when we get baptized, it's for the repentance of sin. John said, prepare ye the way. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way. And so when we get rid of the sin, because what does sin do to us? Sin separates us from God. That's what sin does. When you're separated from God, you're dead. Spiritually dead, if not physically dead, you're dead when you're separated from God. So sin separates us from God. Through baptism, that's our repentance. We repent of our sin and we turn our backs on that sinful way to draw near to Jesus. Preparation. It's the lighting of the unity candle. And that's why it was so important for Jesus to do that. To institute this new ceremony of baptism. The Greek says that Jesus came up out of the water. We don't know how much water he came up out of. If I were standing ankle deep and walked up on shore, I came out of the water. If I was standing hip deep and walked up out of the water onto the shore, I came up out of the water. If I was immersed, so in other words, what I'm trying to say is United Methodists don't care how much water you use, whether you sprinkle or pour or dunk. And yet there are churches that'll tell you, denominations that will say, if you are not dunked, you are not baptized. Man-made stuff, man-made rules, don't worry about that. The important thing to remember is that Jesus affirmed, instituted baptism. And so I would say to you, remember your baptism, because in your baptism is when you became one flesh with Jesus. It's where you got the stuff out of the road that was separating you from Christ. It is part of your wedding ceremony with Jesus. And I would say to you, if you have not been baptized, talk to me. We'll take care of that just as soon as possible. I would never say that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. There are denominations that would say that, because there are times in people's lives where all they can do is call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say you have to be baptized. It does say you should be baptized and call on the name of the Lord to be saved, but you don't have to be. Now we're getting into rabbit trails and that. Let's just say that Jesus instituted baptism. Baptism is a very important step, so we need to remember that we were baptized as infants or that we have been baptized as adults, which means that we have turned our backs on sin. We have set our face towards Jesus to become one flesh with him. Let me close with this example of what baptism is. Old illustration. I'm sure that some of you will remember this. There was a very wise woman who was a teacher and a lecturer. She would go around from community to community, from organization to organization, and she would lecture people. And she was very popular. Everybody loved what she had to say, a great motivator. And so there was this little town who prided itself on how they took care of the members of their town. They had a lot of services, and they provided a lot of care and education for all of their inhabitants, young and old alike. I mean, this was a wonderful little town. They took good care of everybody. So they decided to bring this great teacher to their community and to have everybody turn out to hear what the great teacher had to say. So they set a date. Everybody gathered in the town hall. And the great teacher came in, smiled, nodded at everybody, carried this big book. She walked up to the pulpit, put the book down, opened it up, and she says, do you know what I'm here to tell you? Everybody said no. And she says, well, then you're ignorant. And she closed the book and she walked out. Well, they were kind of upset, you know, and they said, well, we really need to hear what she had to say. Obviously, we made a mistake. So they sent for her again, and they talked her into another date. And when the date came, everybody gathered in the town hall, and the great teacher came in, smiled, nodded at everybody, walked up to the lectern, the pulpit, and she put the Bible, her book down, and she opened up the book, and she says, do you know what I'm here to tell you today? And everybody said, yes. And she says, well, then you don't need me. She closed the book, and she walked out. Obviously, she had something wonderful to say, and they needed to get her back. And so they sent her a few letters, and they begged, and they pleaded, and they said, please, 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 you know, and they really kept after her, and they finally were able to convince her to come back. So they set a date. Everybody gathered in the town hall, young and old alike. And the great teacher came in with her big book. She went up into the pulpit, and she laid it down, and she opened it up, and she says, do you know what I'm here to tell you? They were ready. They had a plan. Half of them said yes. Half of them said no. And she said, well, then those of you who know can tell those of you who don't know. She closed her book and she walked out. Man, they were beside themselves. They were just beside themselves. They knew that she had something to share. So they sent an ambassador from the town who went and met with her and begged and pleaded and asked her to come back, and she finally agreed. They set the date. Everybody gathered in the town hall, and she came walking in, smiled and nodded at everybody, went up into the stand, put her book down, opened it up, and she said, do you know what I'm here to tell you? And nobody said a word. And she said, good, for now you are ready to listen. Baptism is when we are ready to listen. Baptism is when we get all that trash out of our lives and we say to Jesus, I'm ready. I am ready. See, the church is the bride of Christ. We are married to Jesus, one flesh. And everything that we do in the light of Jesus Christ, one flesh. God loves you, and so do I. At the beginning of the year, these are our church leaders. If I call your name, please come down front. We need to pray for the people on this list. It's a long list, but these are the leaders and workers of our church. So pray for them, for their ministry, and come down if I call your name again. Church council, vice chair, council secretary, lay member of annual conference, worship leader, choir member, alternate member, church treasurer, lay leader, associate lay leader, finance chair, trustee chair, PPR chair, co-chair, church school superintendent, United Methodist Women co-presidents, United Methodist Men's president, our youth group leader, Pastor Ron and Robin, nurture and witness, marketing public relations, Melinda's the boss there. David just does what she tells him. Members at large, board of trustees, chair, staff, pastor, parish relations, lay leadership, finance, outreach, nurture and witness, staff, youth ministries, Ron Slavin, visitation team, public relations, music and arts ministry, Diane Runzer, sound techs, webmaster Josh Berger, communion, prayer chain, bulletin ministry, acolytes, altar guild, flowers, greeters, ushers, additional committee members. If your name was not called and you are on a committee, come on down. These are some of our leaders for this coming year. Pray for them. Help them in any way you can. You're part of the covenant that we're about to make. And to all of you, this is not about First United Methodist Church. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about the church being an instrument of righteousness and peace and joy and love, the right arm of Jesus to the world around us. This is not about a club. It's not about entertainment. It's not about having a blast. All of that's just gravy. It happens along the way. But it is about surrender. You're up here today because you are surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, to the power of the Holy Spirit. You are up here today because you are becoming one flesh with Jesus. So remember your baptism and be thankful. Dear friends, you have been called by God and chosen by the people of God for leadership in the church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. It recognizes your special gifts and calls you to work among us and for us. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation and challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to the people, and to our ministry in the world. Live a life in Christ and make him known in your witness and your work. Do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do. Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? If so, answer, I will. Will you so live that you enable this church to be a people of love and peace? If so, answer, I will. Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen? If so, answer, I will. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep before them the example of our Lord, who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for all of us. Let them share his ministry in consecration that they may enter into his joy, and guide them in their work. Reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now to all of you. Dear friends, rejoice that God provides laborers for the vineyards. Will you do all that you can to assist and encourage them in the responsibilities to which they have been called, giving them your cooperation, your counsel, and your prayers? If so, answer, we will. May God bless each and every one of you and your families as you sacrifice your time and your talents and your gifts in the ministry of the church. Because sometimes you've got to surrender things at home. Sometimes you have to give of yourself, and other people have to pay the price. When you serve the Lord, it's not always an easy path, being in ministry, but it has eternal consequences, and this world is not our home. So there is nothing more important than serving Jesus, whether it be at here or at home, in the workplace, or out in the world. Remember that you are one with Christ. God bless you, each and every one of you. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And now, our hymn of parting is number 608. Standing as we sing, this is the Spirit's entry now.
Thank you.
We know that being married takes work. It's what you make it. Being one with Christ takes work as well. Studying the scriptures, saying prayers, worship, hanging out with other Christians, getting involved in ministry. We should always work at improving our relationship with Jesus in order to please Jesus, to make Jesus happy. It should be our goal in life because we are one flesh with Jesus. So God, pour out your Spirit upon us and fill us with such an overwhelming hunger for your holy word, with an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first in every area of our lives, that we just can't help it, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, make it so. We pray that as we go forth from this place, people will see Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.